Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Hey, welcome in. Time for a daily editorial. I don't even know what day it is. This is such a crazy week for me. I'm moving down to Seattle. By the way, I want to give you guys a little bit of knowledge of my move. I'm not going down and buying a house. I'm going down and I have taken an apartment in an independent living facility. The reason I'm doing that is independent living facilities do provide a very valuable social purpose for people like myself who really don't have a lot of outside friends, my neighborhood, for lack of better terms. They do provide for people, even though they're independent living, in the sense that you are guaranteed a very helpful living situation. You're guaranteed a lot of social activities. The only bad part about it, in my opinion, is I'm building no equity in the apartment that I rented down there. But I believe that my quality of life will be absolutely fantastic, and I'll be starting that Saturday or Sunday of this coming weekend. So now you know what that's all about. It is very definitely independent living. It's basically a luxury apartment that I am getting, and I'll be moving in with the help of my kids Saturday and Sunday. Should be done by Saturday night, actually, in terms of my move. Now you know that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. You know, Jimmy and I introduced an interesting subject yesterday on the daily editorial that I really believe requires more than a simple, 20-second op-ed piece by Jimmy. Now, I think it's a very, very, what I'm talking about is the influence of IT. To me, this is something that I felt a while ago had some danger in the fact that IT is a very sophisticated yet effective way to influence people's opinions. I mentioned to Jimmy off mic this morning that I felt that we were kind of, in a sense, a social site, and he said we were definitely not. He said we're definitely a new site that's turned into a very interesting new site because of the opinions of our, what I call, very sophisticated bloggers. I want to say, and I'm not saying this to try and suck up to you guys, as I mentioned last night when I was going over many of the comments yesterday, I now pretty much share your opinions. I want to make a comment about my feelings about Biden. I think Biden's an old fool, and I feel sorry for anybody who's an old fool. I don't think he's a good person, I will say that. And I'm on the record, and there I am. Jimmy, let's talk about the dangers of IT on society.
The biggest problem is the platforms, the social media platforms,
right,
that are designed to influence people, to gather information, to collect knowledge, and then share and shape knowledge for people.
Right.
Initially the idea of Facebook was just, hey, you get connected with your friends and family, you can share information, you can talk to each other, which was, seemed pretty benign.
Right.
Google search, with the bigger company Alphabet, was designed to just help people gather information to use the internet, information on the internet to be able to gather and share knowledge. What they've turned into, these platforms have turned into methods to shape people's information.
Yeah.
They silence one set of views and then actually advertise or push another view. And that view is very much focused on the best interest of the company and the best interest of their ideologies,
right,
that would help perpetuate the benefit of the company and their company's leaders' view of how the world should be. It's basically taking away individuals' choice and rights if they don't have other information. Most people are pretty bright out there. There's a lot of people that, that don't pay much attention. But when they have the information of what's happening around them, they can make decisions for themselves. What you see with the massive expanse of influence of social media and these search engines are a silencing of opposition views, of taking away the actual fundamentals of the internet that were thought to be going to be a fantastic opportunity for humankind to get more information. They're actually taking away information and then posting other views and other ideologies that benefit them both financially and ideologically.
Well, I tell you, I think that our show, for example, is very effective because we have bright people who are really making the audience stop and think. They certainly made Big Al stop and think. There's no question about that. What did I stop and think about when I learned that I had to be very accurate in the expression of my opinion? And oftentimes that's not an easy thing to do. You know, when you look at the internet and the power of the internet, Jim and I were talking off mic earlier this morning on this subject, and I'll tell you, you know, the idea of Biden stealing the election, let me make a comment on that. You know, people are talking about stuffing the ballot boxes, et cetera, et cetera. That's kid stuff. I think the way that that's occurring is it's occurring through IT. Facts are getting instilled in people's minds out there that are not true, and those facts are winning elections. Right, Jim?
Well, I think there's a lot of manipulation going on, and we've seen the coordination with powerful entities of the federal government
right.
through the Twitter files
yeah.
where they've reached out in order to manipulate information or silence information that was questioning a government view, and that government view was a political
right.
view in the direction of the White House. That just happened in the 22 election. It happened in the 2020 election. It was happening in the 2016 and the 2018 elections. The 2016 election, you had a lot of misinformation that was going around out there. Some of it was joking, but I think very powerful entities realized how they could influence it. And there's been some testimony on the House and Senate floor in Congress
yeah.
by experts that were involved in developing the technologies that shape and clear these algorithms. And we know of one scientist that was a Google employee that actually talked about how much that they could influence particular ideologies and particular voting patterns in some areas to change basically a 10 to 15% of the overall vote.
That's a very big number, Jim.
It is. And then when you get the censorship aspect and the censorship with the government,
yeah.
in collusion with the government, and this is specifically talking about the 2020 election and the Hunter Biden laptop story,
yeah.
you actually have shifted, you know, directly involved tech leadership in order to silence information from legitimate news sources.
Yeah.
New York Post, legitimate news source, took that opportunity away from the public in order to achieve an outcome politically for their favored candidate. But that's the only one that's been identified right now is the Twitter files. It happened with Google. It happened with YouTube. It happened with Facebook. It happened with Instagram. These different sites, these different platforms were using their power to influence and to the outcome of an election and silence potential political opposition. And it's becoming very, very apparent.
That is incredibly damaging. Jim, I want you to give an example about how that's being accomplished, would you? I'm the idiot in the woodpile, and I don't know. I know very little about IT. I know a lot about politics, but I'm very, very short on knowledge when it comes to IT. So give me an example of how this happens, would you?
Okay, so there's a couple of ways to do it. One is by manually changing the settings for what keywords, what things would come up in a posting or a Facebook post or a Twitter feed,
yeah.
and those keywords would actually not allow that information to spread to others. So if you say something about voter fraud
yep.
in 2020, that keyword would come up, and if a post comes out, and a legitimate post, maybe
yeah.
somebody that had information with, and what we saw was videotape
yeah.
of different people dropping mass numbers of ballots off and ballot boxes that were in states that it was illegal to do more than one ballot for anybody.
For example, 10,000 mules.
Yes, exactly. So
yeah.
what happens is, the algorithms or the manual input of those words, those key words, are implanted into the system. That the networking of that system or the actual will not allow that information to flow to someone else. That's one way to do it. Another way to do it is actually to just send a cancellation notice to those individuals and actually say, hey, you're no longer allowed to post. Twitter did that with the New York Post.
Yeah.
They stopped. They said, you have broken our terms of an agreement, because it's a private company. That term of agreement said, we're not going to allow you to send this information, and you have been suspended for 2 weeks up until the election.
Yeah.
That happened to a major U.S. news source on a platform that should not have been controlled. And technically and legally, it's very questionable where they had the ability to do that. But what's even worse is they were being influenced by the Department of Justice and the FBI to take down that type of information.
Well, now I totally understand the picture. I totally understand why you and the rest of the guys on the blog are so adamantly against and angry at the Justice Department and the FBI. They did play it's a known fact, documented. They played a major role in promoting that action.
Well, and they were so involved in so many cases by not only silencing information they, quote, say was, they were saying was, quote, disinformation,
right,
or, quote, misinformation, unquote.
Yeah.
They were doing outreach to these big tech companies because of relationships, and then silencing any type of opposition voices, to the point where people were unable to question the outcome of the 2020 election when they had evidence of problems that needed to be answered.
Right.
And there's an example. So I'll just give you a very quick one. In Chester County, Pennsylvania, a review judge, has just overturned a previous judge's ruling that they could not do a recount in Chester County.
Yeah.
The previous judge broke Pennsylvania law and said, hey, basically, we don't believe that there was any fraud, and so we're not going to allow a recount, in spite of the Constitution and state law allowing for a recount if they had a petition from voters with no justification or fraud.
Right.
So people filed a petition saying we wanted a recount. That was fully legal. The judge, a judge named Summers, said, I don't care if that's what you want, and even though you can do it, we don't believe this happened. It's you know, fake news because of the information in the media,
right.
And he denied that claim. Now, in 2023, another judge said, no, Judge Summers, you broke the law. You did not allow this recount. There was no justification for you to do that, and those petitions were denied fraudulently back in 2020 and 2021.
Yeah.
Now we've got to open up and allow a recount. Now, that should have happened around the country if you wanted to have transparency. But
sure.
What we saw was the media and the tech companies and the Democratic Party, in conjunction with very powerful government influences that did not want to see Donald Trump continue in the presidency,
right.
They did outreach. And the FBI did outreach to these tech companies and the media companies to silence that type of questioning of the system. And sure enough, a bunch of sheep followed along, and everybody repeated the same voice. This is just conspiracy theory, that there was fraud, even though there was a ton of evidence. So no judge was going to step up. Almost no judge would step up and say, hey, look, we've got to actually look into this because there is potential for fraud here, because they were so afraid of the backlash.
You bet there is, yeah.
And that's the problem when you have intimidation and silencing of opposition and voices. And that's where we have to change what's happening in America right now if we want to survive.
Okay, Jimmy, how are we going to change that?
You know, I mean, all right, so it's funny. I think Charger, I was just looking at his comments, and, you know, hey, love you, Charger.
Yeah, I do too. He's been
around. You always got good ideas and thoughts, but...
Yeah.
But the Brunson case that went before the Supreme Court that wanted to kick out the electors that actually voted for Joe Biden without the, you know, by not taking responsibility and doing a recount and, validating and certifying the election. When the case, the legal case was, hey, these guys, you know, failed. And they did. That's not going to change anything. What's going to change things is getting transparency out there and getting people to understand how much they've been manipulated with the tech companies, and speaking up and getting actual hearings and opening the books on what has happened and undermining the credibility of these media voices that are basically the propaganda tools for the government and for the federal, you know, for the Democratic Party.
But Jimmy, wait
then
a minute.
Then you have transparent.
You're like, the only place you're going to get that kind of unbiased information are sites like ours.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm not going to say I'm unbiased. I'm definitely geared towards a conservative view. You know, I want to be honest with that. That's much of what I put out here is my personal opinion. A lot of it is what I put out in fact.
Yeah.
But what you need are the facts, and the facts clearly show a conspiracy by Democratic operatives, by members of the federal government, including law enforcement, and the tech and media companies in order to change the outcome of a U.S. election.
Yeah.
That needs to go before, with factual evidence, unquestionably before the public, to where they finally understand what's happening. And that's we're getting to a point where more than 50% of the population understands that there was fraud in 2020, and many more understand there was fraud in the recent 2022 Arizona, Maricopa County elections as well as in other ones. So that has to be pushed. And it, ultimately, this isn't about just a legal case. It's about a popular case, about getting the people to open up and to say, you know what, you're being manipulated. You're being twisted and turned by Facebook and by other influences and by corporate greed and by very powerful legal institutions to silence your voices.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, you're taking away your privacy and you're taking away your freedom of choice and thought.
Yeah.
And hopefully, and this is a, you know, hope, by presenting that information, by opening it up, by transparency, by House hearings with Republican leadership and control, we get to that point where enough people say, oh my God, we've been tricked. COVID was a fraud. You know, the way the government responded to it was wrong. They potentially threatened many people's lives because of false information. They destroyed lives because they were pushing agendas that were funded by Pfizer. You know, these things have to come out. People have to stand up. They have to wake up to the fact. And if you can't keep talking about it, if it's being silenced and censored, we'll never win it. So we have to push back on it.
Right.
And that's
Let me ask you a question, okay? Emotionally, the first thing that comes out to my mind is I really like to believe in the goodness of humanity. And it would appear from what I learned from the bloggers yesterday that that's a false truth on my part. Now, let me ask you this.
I'm sorry. Say that again, once again. What was the false truth?
Believing in the goodness of government or the goodness of humanity, perhaps going overboard in my belief. Okay, I mean, do you really believe that the U.S. government was trying to kill people, kill citizens?
I don't believe that people were trying to kill citizens directly. I hope, I pray that's not the case. But I do believe that there were government influences that chose their personal power over the best interests of the nation and the population.
Yes,
there is no question in my mind.
Yeah.
Now, do I think there are still good people? I think most people, almost like Luke Bryan says in the song, you know, most people are good.
Yeah.
But people make decisions for their own self-interest, and they make decisions with the information they have. When the information they have is fraudulent, that becomes very dangerous.
Yeah.
And that's what when it's driven by ideology, you know, when decisions are being made by emotion and ideology and not logic, not, you know, thought, you begin to get very, very ugly responses. That's where civil wars start. That's where violence happens. And when emotions and stupidity take over.
Right.
That's what we're seeing. And of course, people like Anthony Fauci, people like Joe Biden are not competent, right, in my view, to run and lead this nation because they were worried about their self-interest. There were other things underneath that were happening and decisions on intelligence collection, gathering with COVID and medical intelligence collection things in China. They're trying to cover that up. They're trying to cover up their own mistakes. And by trying to cover up their own mistakes, they are hurting and killing people.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to go along with that. Covering your ass, for lack of better terms, you're actually hurting other people. I would agree with that. I would also firmly agree when you talk about the jab that the jabs are dangerous. Enough people have died within a time frame that just has to implicate that particular action that I think the jabs were really, truly dangerous. You know, I want to thank you guys for kind of taking me to task on some of my comments over the last few days. For example, when you took me to task yesterday on the blog, made me stop and think. Very valuable to Big Al. I gotta tell you, I wouldn't be having this conversation right now with Jim if I really believed that there wasn't a major need for it. People need to understand the danger lurking in our society today. Honest to God, they need to understand that.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, there's so many examples right now. I'm going to, you know, the Ohio train derailment and the response by the EPA and the local government there in Ohio, where they blew this tanker up and they're spreading these massive, you know, they made bad decisions, but the worst part about it is they didn't care too much about it. And, of course, it looks like, unfortunately, that the people that are suffering from it, obviously always the people that suffer the most are the most innocent and the ones that are you know, least likely to fight back.
Right.
I think Tucker Carlson last night had a great, you know, comment. He said, hey, if this happened in D.C., we would have seen the whole world upside down to try to fix it. What it happens out in a little town in Ohio that voted 70%+ for Trump, the Democrats and people like Pete Buttigieg and the EPA director, they could care less.
Yeah.
The White House doesn't say anything about it. You know, it's just they ignore it, even though this is a potential absolute catastrophic problem entire region with water.
That's right.
And then you get another, you know, this push in Washington State, which is be interesting for you to know. You probably haven't seen this yet, but a Democratic state senator from Everett, Washington, has proposed a bill to allow teenagers to be housed and funded for transgender surgeries, modifying surgeries.
Oh, geez.
And not telling their parents.
My state?
In Washington State, in a Democratic senator in Everett is proposing this bill that allows kids to be housed, funded, and supported for gender mutilation because of their – without contacting their parents.
Yeah.
And he's saying it's for the best interest of children, when in fact this is incredibly damaging. But the media has created, the left-wing progressive media, controlled by this entire unbelievably politically oriented progressive ideology, is pushing these types of agendas that people are like, what are you talking about? But they can't fight back because they're either silenced or attacked through media forces. And, you know, and our government is not standing up to protect people's rights to question these types of legislation.
I agree 100% with that one. You know, we're going to have to do this maybe in two parts, because I do have to go to Seattle tomorrow morning early, right in the middle of when we normally do the daily editorial. So if we could do another daily editorial continuing on with what we're talking about right now at some point later on in the day. And I would like to use, you know, as kind of fodder, for lack of better terms, let's use the term subject matter, the comments that come in from many of the bloggers. And if we could do that at your convenience later in the day today, Jim, that would give us a way to respond very quickly. When I will be totally out of town tomorrow. I'll tell you, I never realized that moving from one home to another home would cause this much of a hassle, this much of a time constraint for me, that it would actually affect AFFECT, the daily editorials. And that really makes me sad, because I think we have some very, very important subjects that we're bringing to light right now, Jim. And I want to say that they are bringing to light primarily because of you and the bloggers. I really appreciate that. We have a valuable, valuable source of information from listeners.
Well, I want to wish you well in this move, and we're going to be flexible as we possibly can to keep the information going out there. And I did, you know, one of the questions that's been asked, you asked, and others have asked, what can we do to to maybe help and make a change. And I actually was just looking at the blog, and I realized that South Front has said, hey, you know, maybe everyone writing, and we'll put this out on the weekend show, I'll actually say it, putting the free Assange position, maybe getting that out on the radio is a good idea, because I think opening up and recognizing what had happened, and there's things that happened, I personally know with what was released from WikiLeaks that had some damaging results, but ultimately transparency is the solution to corruption.
Right.
And that's what we need more of. We need more Project Veritas.
Yeah.
We need more people that are willing to do the right thing, but it has to be the right thing.
Yeah, no. So, yeah. No question about that. But I value the opinions of the bloggers. I certainly value your opinion, more importantly, your knowledge, and I'm not being derogatory when I say that, but we are very careful, pardon me, about what we say, and we are trying our darndest to provide the truth. Admittedly, it's a bit slanted in a conservative direction, but so what? That's what our company, that's what our country is all about. Jim, we keep on going if you'd like. We're at about 27 minutes right now. Any other subject along the lines of IT and the dangers of IT that you want to bring up?
I mean, there's so much to talk about on this, but I think we've probably burned everybody out for now. Appreciate everybody listening, and let's just keep the communication up and keep going.
And more importantly, I really appreciate the comments. Thank you so much, you guys. Okay, Jimmy. We're going to try to get back to you guys and record another one for tomorrow, or maybe we'll run it later on tonight. Thanks, James.
You bet.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.